What I was going to speak about was light emerging in darkness. And so we asked the question about why is that important even to talk about. You need to ask that question. And the reason is because we face difficult circumstances in life all the time. All the time. Internally, in ourselves, and collectively, in the world. And light emerging in darkness is a pointer. It's a pointer towards what to hold on to in the presence of difficult circumstances. We might think that we know how to do this, that we know what to say to ourselves and what to tell ourselves about the difficulties we face. But it's not as easy as we might think. The energies that take us away from light and love are very seductive. They're very seductive. And you know your internal process. You know how you think better than anybody else. So you would know how much time you spend worrying about something. Anything, really. Worrying is a habit of mind. And so when difficulties arise, whether it's personal, internal, or whether it's something we share as a country, it's very easy and very seductive to get involved with worry and to think that worrying is the answer to the problem, whatever the problem might be. Worrying is a way of the mind trying to control the situation so that it feels like everything is okay. And that is a belief that we have, that if we worry and think about something over and over again, then it'll be all right. That's not usually true, but the mind has its own mind. And so it's used to going down the path of worrying. So the subject about light emerging in darkness is about trying to find a different way than worrying and using mental control to get through a difficult situation. When I suggested this subject as a title for a talk, I was thinking more, and I talk often about the difficulties that this country is facing, the difficulties that we find as citizens of this country in terms of what we see happening to create divisions among people, what we see happening in terms of civil rights or human rights not being respected for all people. There's a part of the heart, each of you, all of us, have a heart that has roots. It's rooted. And what is it rooted in? It's not rooted in public opinion. It's rooted in your soul. Your heart has roots that go into your deeper self or soul. And so that soul, which is the part of you that connects you with God, has its own values and its own way of looking at life. And will tell you, your soul will tell you, when something doesn't feel right to you. You don't have to ask anybody. It's better if you can just trust yourself. Sometimes we try to ask other people how to feel, what to think, because we don't trust ourselves, but it's better if you can. So your soul, communicating with your heart, tells you when something feels off or when life feels like it's going out of balance or out of kilter or in the wrong direction. And it's possible to feel that about one's own life, your own life. It's possible to feel that about the world, the whole world. It's possible to feel that about this country. You can feel with your values of your heart that things are not going in a good direction, or they're going in a direction that doesn't feel right to your heart. So, when that happens, there needs to be a way of reassuring yourself that safety exists, that something positive is taking place in the presence of that which feels like it's very difficult. Now, when I'm talking to you, I'm talking about your own life, your personal issues that you're facing, as well as the life of this country, both. So we have a habit of thinking, when things feel like they're not going in a good direction, that either we worry about them more and we figure something out, or we get angry and then feel like we're going to find a way through being angry to rectify the situation, or we feel resignation and a desire to just make it somebody else's problem. That's about difficulties. It's a way of dealing with feeling overwhelmed. It's a way of dealing with things that create a feeling of helplessness. That's what darkness is, essentially. It's that which is around us or in us that takes us away from the feeling of things being in right relationship. And every one of us has a feeling, an inner guide about when things feel like they're in right relationship and when they don't. So when life takes us in a direction that feels like it's not right relationship to how things should be, by our internal measure, not by our mind's measure, but the heart's measure, then there's a feeling immediately of helplessness until one feels like one can do something about it. And if things are, circumstances are such that you don't know what to do about it, then it creates anxiety, or it can create anxiety, because the feeling of helplessness is opposed to what the mind tries to do, which is to control things. Your mind tries to control things by strategizing, by planning an activity that will address whatever is wrong. It doesn't like helplessness. Your mind doesn't like helplessness. So if things are difficult and they're not going in the way we think they should, and there isn't an immediate solution to the problem, anxiety gets created because of helplessness. But anxiety is what I said about worrying. It's a habit of mind. It's a habit of thought. And it's not the best habit. You probably have found that out. So what is another way of looking at times of difficulty, which we're calling darkness? Another way of looking at it is from the standpoint of what human beings are capable of in the presence of difficulty. What we are capable of is holding on to something that tells us what is the right direction to go in. And a word for that, which is in our present time undervalued, and it's very important that we know this, because the seduction of worrying and the seduction of darkness is that there's nothing that's going to do any good. That's a thought that gets created based on helplessness, that we don't have any capacity to affect things. It's too big. There's nothing to be done. And I'm talking on the larger scale now. Usually in one's personal life, you can think of something to do. Not always, but often. So what is it inside you that you can hold on to when it seems like there's nothing outside to do, and you're looking for the way of being that will be constructive and not harmful to the situation? It won't make it worse. The answer, as I said, is something that we don't value enough, and that is the power of love. I know that those of you who have a spiritual path that you follow or spiritual background that you've been in for years, we all speak the words of love. We all know how to do that. We all know how to say we believe in love, and we do. The difficulty is in embodying it, and the difficulty is in embodying it, especially at times of difficulty, because in the time of difficulty, we go for worry and we go for control, and we disbelieve in the power of love. When, for example, the political scene here in this country starts becoming more chaotic, or things are happening that seem like they're really detrimental to our collective purpose as a nation, all kinds of feelings get stirred up about that. And mostly we just worry. Mostly we worry, we get anxious, we get angry, we feel resigned. So even though on the spiritual level we talk to each other and to ourselves about the importance of love, because the way that our culture has been going, and we're all embedded in our culture to some degree, we don't believe that it's an effective means of change. We just get seduced by other things that claim to be more powerful. And so we let go of the thing that's most important and make it less important, which is the power of love. And when I say the power of love, again, I'm not saying to think about love. I'm saying, in the presence of difficulty, to manifest that, to be it, to use the internal presence of your own heart. This was for emphasis.
The choir of the angels playing.
That's right. We have an angelic choir in there.
No alarm.
I planned this in advance, so strategic moments it will do very well. I've seen people do this over and over again, and very dedicated people spiritually, very dedicated, very devoted to the consciousness of how to live. But the seduction of darkness is that there's no other way to feel. That's the seduction. And that feeling anxious is the way to feel. Beloved ones, I am telling you what you already know, that you have another place inside you that's much more beneficial for dealing with difficulty than worrying and feeling anxious. When you worry and feel anxious about something because of helplessness, you contribute to the level of fear that goes on collectively in a group, or in a society, in a nation, or in the world. It would be much better for all of us if we could trust love, if we could trust it within ourselves, if we could separate ourselves from the emotional contagion. You all know what contagion is. Contagion is that momentum that gets started when everybody around you is thinking a certain thing, and it sweeps you along, and pretty soon you're gone. So if we could separate ourselves from emotional contagion and stay planted in light, which contains love. Love and light are one. They manifest in slightly different ways on this plane, the physical plane, and I can talk about that later. But here, in this time, when we're faced with all kinds of strange and unprecedented things happening in our collective life, here is where love needs to be held onto with both hands and fingers and toes and anything else you can hold on with. It's that important. It's that important to not believe in the seduction of darkness, that there is no other way except meeting antagonism with antagonism, or fear with fear, or worry with worry. It's that important. The power of seduction of darkness is to devalue the importance of love. That's what it does. And if you look at the political landscape and the rhetoric that people use, not everybody, but a great many people, you will see that the emotion of love is very hard to sustain in our public life. Sometimes people can, but most of the time not. Most of the time we're looking at an adversarial relationship that's getting stronger and stronger between people. And we, why I'm talking about this, need to know how not to participate with this. We need to know how to stay inside ourselves and feel something like faithfulness to a deeper sense of truth, to a deeper sense of hope. The power of love is based on hope that one doesn't have to fight fire with fire, that the fire of love is sufficient. One doesn't have to do battle with weapons, with those who use weapons. This is the historical context of what this country has been doing for 200 plus years, is using weapons and justifying the use of weapons to achieve its aims, to achieve its strategic and defensive and economic and all kinds of other aims, to use weapons, weapons of war, sometimes directly, sometimes making war, and sometimes verbally through threatening war. And as a result, we as a people have come to believe in the effectiveness of force and not in the effectiveness of love. That's where we are. And if it's going to be any different than this, then it's got to change from inside ourselves. It's got to be that we don't just give lip service to what we do in a difficult situation. Now, while I'm talking to you, remember I'm trying to also make this relevant to your own household, to your own interchange with people when you are having difficulty. Love is very easy to express when somebody's being nice and when they're being loving. Then there's no problem and we have nothing to talk about. It's only a problem when the world isn't treating you the way you want to be treated. Then it's a problem. So, we have to find some place of stability inside ourselves as best we can, and really with fervor, because it's hard, it's not simple to do. The emotional sweep of this time that we're in has created strong forces that want to pull us into them, pull us into fear, pull us into anxiety, and pull us into retaliation and the belief in force. We have to stabilize something inside ourselves that's not that, because that's the basis for change. You know, if you look at your own life and you think about what I'm saying, think of what you excuse in your own behavior because it feels impossible to be loving. You feel hurt, you feel threatened. When I say you, I mean we feel threatened, we feel hurt. We react to somebody's reaction to us. We don't stabilize something in ourselves. We feel too small and inadequate to do that. We think that we can't. And so the seduction of darkness is that you're too small, that love is too big a task and you're too small, and so it's easier to do what most people do, which is just to react to reactions, just react to somebody's reaction. That's the past. And the future is something else. The future is what's here and what I'm speaking about, and what the divine is trying to bring about into manifestation, which is the stability of each person within themselves, drawing from something that claims the possibility of being the force for change. Not looking down the street for someone else doing it, but being the force for change, which means being in the place of light and love, even if nobody else is. It's always easier if everybody else is. No question about it. But that's not the problem. The problem is we're living in a time when the forces that are opposed to love, to unity, to people getting together with compassion and with a desire to serve the common good is being challenged seriously. It doesn't mean everybody's doing this, but it means that the force of that challenge to unity and to people caring for each other is very strong now. It's very strong. And so those of us who are aspiring to have a spiritual life, which I assume you are because you're here, need to do something different, to embrace that principle and to live by it in the presence of that which opposes it, which is any force that you feel doesn't like you, wants to hurt you, is angry with you, doesn't value what you're offering, isn't treating you right. You know, the same principle of stabilizing an energy inside yourself, no matter what's going on, exists on the personal level and on the political or national level. It's the same principle. And it requires diligence, and it requires consistency, and it requires commitment. And it requires that you believe in yourself, that you believe that you're not this small person who needs to be, you know, blown away by whatever emotional current is passing through that day. You are much bigger than that. We all are. We are capable of acting in faith, steadfastly, with what lives inside us. Does it require effort? Yes, it does. But it's far from being impossible, far from it. So, that's the task of this time, is to stabilize that place of your own deeper self, truth, so that it's not dependent on what somebody else does for you, does to you, does against you, so that you do it because you want to live according to your own deeper truth. The other part of what I wrote down on my title paper here, so I didn't forget what I was going to talk about, was about a new earth, that's what I wrote, a new time for the earth, yes. So this is about purification and our understanding of what this time that we're in. Why are there so many difficulties that are all around us? Why is this country experiencing a loss of integrity and difficulty with its international neighbors and alliances? Why? And why does it appear that the level of violence and the expression of violence has reached a new stage in terms of how many times we see someone being shot and so forth? You know from your reading, I'm guessing, that the comparison of statistics of violence in this country is very high as compared to other nations. You know, there are maps of comparative expressions of violence. So we're living in a very violent time, in a very violent country, and now there are violent events happening. Why is that happening? Well, I would like to suggest to you, if you're not already there, that you hold the perspective that there is a divine plan, and the divine is trying to free us from the sources of darkness, which have been misguided enterprises that have nothing to do with love. We are being set free, but in order to be set free, we have to become aware of what we've been carrying as darkness. And so in many respects, when you talk about or you look at what's been happening with racial violence, or what's been happening with the indigenous peoples, or there are so many examples of, or what's been happening with the U.S. and its treatment of other nations, or what's been happening with the refugee crisis, it's just all over the place. When you look at all those different events and you say, where is love? It's hard to see, because it's not like it's right there looking at you. At least many of us feel that way. Not everybody feels that way, but I'm speaking for some, a proportion. So the way to hold this that I'm recommending is that you understand how purification works, or how consciousness works, which is to say that if the divine could wave a magic wand over everything and make it all better and everything would go away, that's difficult. I think most of us would say, oh yeah, that's a good idea, except it isn't. Except it isn't, because we are a growing people and we need to grow. We don't need magic wands. Our ego needs a magic wand, but we don't need a magic wand. The magic wand is a short circuit which doesn't belong in a spiritual life. It's not part of it. We are growing people, and as a growing people, we need to confront the issues that have been present, that have been concealed. So what's going on the earth today is that confrontation. We are seeing in this country and elsewhere those issues which have been more hidden from consciousness, such as the legacy of slavery in this country, which we know about slavery, but the legacy of slavery is the lack of equality in the presence of the principle of equality of all people in this country, that slavery has an ongoing presence in this country because of the diminishing of the values of people of color, different color, not just African Americans. So purification takes place by becoming conscious. It doesn't take place by waving a magic wand. And you know what a magic wand is? A magic wand is when people feel that they need to just check out. Magic wand, which looks like a magic wand, is numbing. And you can numb yourself by either exiting from being aware of what's going on, or you can numb yourself through a substance abuse, or you can numb yourself through something that you throw yourself into as a distraction that's not healthy, but you do it anyway so that you don't have to deal with the real problems. Numbing is a way of dealing with the purification process, which is not constructive. Avoidance and numbing just postpone things. They don't do anything constructive. Purification means that the tendencies that have been hidden from oneself need to be grappled with on a conscious level. And there is no other way. It's been said before, and I'll say it again to you now, there are no shortcuts. In a spiritual life, in a life of consciousness, there are no shortcuts, nor should there be, because we don't grow that way. We grow through honesty, through looking at what is. Thank you. And making moral decisions about that. We grow through making moral decisions. It's why we take birth. We take birth in a particular lifetime with a set of moral decisions that are going to be coming to us that we have to decide about. And that's how we grow, through confronting situations and trying to find what's the highest possible response. So numbing is not a good idea, and avoidance is not a good idea, and certainly substance abuse is not a good idea either. But in order to face these other issues, we have to be willing to be honest with ourselves and with our loved ones both. To be willing to look at the things we would rather not see about ourselves. And the same is true on a national level. We need to be willing to look at the treatment of African Americans and indigenous peoples and all kinds of other categories of people that we have only given lip service of equality to and not real equality. These problems are knocking at our door now loudly. Say, pay attention to what's happening. Pay attention because you can't go to sleep anymore. You need to stay awake. And that's what I'm saying too. You need to stay awake, but you stay awake not just by exclaiming how bad things are. You stay awake by deciding that you want to be a force for change. And the way you become a force for change is by stabilizing your heart and the path of your heart, which is about love. That's how you become a force for change. In the presence of that which is not about love. That's how you do it. And you do it in your conversations with people, and you do it in your discussions with people about, you know, the landscape of public life, political life. We indulge in so much that's not about love because we don't trust ourselves to be stable in that place. And so we commiserate with each other, and we worry together, and we accuse other people of creating a problem, and we're all too ready to criticize somebody else for making a problem for us. And that doesn't do anything for what we're doing, because the only answer to a problem is what you can do inside yourself to address it. Criticizing somebody else really is far less important. It feels good because then we get to feel superior. Anybody who criticizes anybody, of course you don't do that here, anybody who criticizes anybody gets to feel superior for that moment. It's not real, but you get to feel superior for a moment by saying it's somebody else's fault. So the challenge of this time, beloved ones, is to take it upon ourselves to be a force for change, which is to stabilize light and the love that's part of light in ourselves, no matter what else is going on, and to recognize when we don't feel able or willing to do that, when we feel entirely justified in going with the crowd that says, he did this to me, they're doing this to me, if it weren't for them, then I'd be feeling whatever you think you'd be feeling. This is a seduction of darkness. To feel that that's an answer is to blame somebody else for what's going on. But it's not. All it does is prolong anger and anxiety. It doesn't change anything. The only thing that changes anything comes from inside you and from being faithful to what's inside you, no matter what else is going on. So the earth is purifying, this country is purifying, and what that means is that a new light that's coming from other planes, other spiritual planes, is now present with us, which roots out and makes visible patterns of misguided thinking. The new light makes available those patterns of wrong thinking so that they stare us right in the face and have to be dealt with. Is that pleasant? Of course it's not. We would rather, you know, have music playing. But this is what's happening. This is what's happening. We have to look at it and respond to it. We're being asked to give up indifference, to respond with the questioning inside oneself, what am I doing to contribute to this problem, and what can I do differently to address it? And that doesn't mean political activism. I'm speaking on the level of your personal life. What are you doing to contribute to the problem of disunity, of people feeling separate from each other, and what can you do to change that inside yourself, in your daily life, in your conversations and relationships with those you live with? You're the best, you're the one who's in charge of all the information that's available about what you're trying to blame on somebody else, what you're not willing yet to be responsible for. You know that. You can look at it. You need to look at it. We all do. So the purpose of purification, why all this is coming up now, is to set human beings free. Because the energy, once it's brought into consciousness, and once we separate from it and say to ourselves collectively, I'm not going that way, we create a space for something new to happen. When you see what's been going on, and you say, I don't like that, I don't want to be part of it, I'm not going to do it, I want to stand for truth, I want to stand for love, then you separate from the darkness and a new arena of choice opens up. Before then, there's no choice possible because you don't know there's anything to separate from. You're just doing what you've always been doing. But when you examine your own consciousness or the national picture consciousness and you say, I don't want to do that, I don't want to be part of that, then you wait. You allow a space to open up so that the light of your own inner being can show you what is it that you need to be doing that has something to do with unity and love and helping the problem, helping the time that we're in. And you stay with that, and you stay with that, and you stay with that. And you pray. You pray to be able to be strong enough to stay with that. And when you find yourself feeling small and incapable of doing that, you try to remember that the idea of being small and incapable is a thought. A thought is not reality. A thought is a perspective. I'm too small to do this. It's a thought. You don't have to identify with a thought. There is great hope for this time, great hope, and we have come here to this lifetime, the one that we're sharing together. We've come into this lifetime to witness the transition that the earth is going through and that all people are going through. We're seeing at the present time a lot more of what's needing to be released and let go of than we're seeing the world that's coming into being, but the world is coming into being. The world of the new is coming into being, and what we have to do is to create the space in which that can happen. The divine is doing the rest. The divine intention is to bring forth enough light so that all people everywhere can feel upheld by their own soul consciousness. And out of that, a new set of values can emerge, and out of that, a new society can emerge through the greater light coming to the earth, which activates the deeper self within each person. That's the source of hope, and that's what we need to cling to. And if it's difficult, then you would need to face the doubts that you're having about what you believe, about what's real in terms of spiritual reality, because we're entitled to do that. We need to be honest with ourselves. If we're not believing that there is hope, yes, we need to face that too. But there is a change going on in human consciousness that's based on the physical change to the earth, based on the incorporation of light. And out of that, there's enormous hope for the future that's happening right now as these other energies and qualities of consciousness are being released. So we can pray together and hope together and try our best to stay out of despair, indifference, and anger. Those three are not our friends. We are not friends with despair, indifference, and anger. We are friends with that which seeks to be friends with all. That's the principle of unification. That which seeks to be friends with all is the principle of love, and we can make friends with it, and we need to make friends with it, and the earth is asking us to make friends with it, and not just on a human level, but the animal kingdom is asking us to make friends with it, the animal kingdom, and the earth is asking us to make friends with it in terms of the land itself. That which exists within us that makes bigger and bigger circles of unity is what we're being called to do in every action, all day. So our prayer can be for ourselves and for all beings, that we may be shown clearly the path of unity, and that we may feel strengthened within ourselves to follow that path, no matter what difficulties may befall us or that we may see around us, that we are helped from an inner level to feel the strength to remain faithful to love as a force of change, and to remain faithful to the vision of unity, which is the direction that the earth is going in and needs to go in. May we all be assisted and helped in walking that path and in feeling upheld so that we may each serve in that way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.